Welcome once again to the messages of Cornerstone Anglican Church. Pontius Pilate once asked, "What is truth?" But today we might ask, "What is freedom?" In this episode, Pastor Andrew unpacks the freedom we have in Jesus.
So in the last couple of weeks, we've looked at two aspects of coming into the presence of God so that we can pray and be heard. I want to pick that thought up again at the end of today. I think God is asking us to pray, and I think we should. But James, he really catches us unaware. We looked at last Sunday where Moses gave the law. Jesus challenged the Pharisees' law. And then James came up with something totally new. And he called it the perfect law. And today, he comes up with two more. The royal law and the law of liberty, or the law of freedom. Now, I don't know if you missed that reference in the readings. You heard it in the sentence. And that was because our readings omitted the three verses in which that is contained, which is James 2 verse 13. We went from 10 to 14, which is what the lectionary does from time to time. Tries to sort of cut out some nasty little passages. And James, you can imagine, could have some nasty words challenging us about how we behave. Challenging us on the reality of our faith commitment. He really declares that faith without works is dead, which is really a challenge to the Reformation's declaration that we are saved by faith and not works, that we're saved by the grace of God. I think Luther called James a right strawy epistle because it didn't really sit with Luther's proclamation that we're saved by faith and not by works. And then, of course, Paul in Ephesians 2 makes it really clear that no works that we do can save us. That we're saved by the grace of God. That we're saved by faith. But lo and behold, he finishes that particular passage by saying that God before time created you and I for good works. So though our human works won't gain any credence with God, there is a work to be done. There's a work that God has given each individual person to do. And Jesus uses parables to unpack this thought with the talents. But the old one talented guy buried it. And we can bury the work of God that God has specifically called us to do. Now, James calls us to do a couple of things in his letter and really challenges us about whether we are discriminating between the rich and the poor. He says that if we do discriminate between the rich and the poor, we become judges with evil thoughts. Now, you can see that James's understanding of the law or at least the outworking of it, is clearly different from that which arose out of the giving of the law of Moses. How do we know that? We just need to go to the gospel reading. An Assyrian Phoenician woman came to Jesus and begged him to heal her daughter who was possessed with a demon. And Jesus responds by saying, it is not right to take the children's bread, Israel's bread, and toss it to the dogs. Now, don't you think that's a bit discriminatory? What is Jesus expressing? Why would our Lord, who's the Lord of love, be so discriminatory to a foreigner? He's reflecting the attitude of his culture, the Jewish culture. They not only saw themselves as better, but as perfect when they weren't. Maybe that's a bit tough. But she comes back at him and says, well, even the dogs get the crumbs that fall off the table. And he says, hey, your faith has made your daughter well. And her daughter was healed. What was Jesus really doing? And I think he was showing us something about prayer. Don't give up. When it's not answered, when it doesn't seem to be getting through, when it doesn't seem like God's hearing, don't give up. And Jesus uses a number of parables to say the same thing. Now, having said that, we need to be careful that we're not praying for our own thing, which is in disobedience to what God is saying to us. Don't keep praying for something that God keeps saying no to. That's not what we're talking about. But when God hasn't answered, or the answer hasn't come, don't give up. Now that lady could have walked away despondent, angry, critical, reviling. I just knew he was going to do that. He's no different to all the others. But she didn't. She persisted until she got the result she wanted. And her daughter was healed. And sometimes it's that last prayer when everything else seems absolutely hopeless that breaks through. You know, Daniel went to prayer for 2 weeks. And there was no answer. He went to prayer for the plight of the nation, which was in bondage in Babylon, with no answer. And he was in fasting and prayer. 2 weeks later, Gabriel, the archangel Gabriel, turns up and says, we would have got here sooner, but we were fighting the battles of evil. And Michael is holding forth to let me get through to you to give you the message, to give you the answer. So if you haven't seen the breakthrough and you haven't seen the answer and you haven't seen heaven move in incredible ways to impact earth, it's because of that spiritual battle we've talked about in the past. That we fight not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers and the forces of evil, the spiritual forces. So we persist in prayer. Now, sometimes I believe we pull short of experiencing all that God wants us to experience. Then I went to a conference some years back. And we went to one of the creative arts sessions. And there was this young woman who was a creative arts director of one of the major Sydney churches. And she took us through the five levels of communication. You know the first level, isn't it? G'day. Nice weather, isn't it? You had that sort of conversation with someone? Okay, and that's as far as it goes. And each level takes you deeper and deeper into an engagement and sharing of thoughts with a person. And she talked about the five levels of worship. So the first level is we get the church and say, G'day, God. Nice weather. And if our worship team's doing a really good job on the day, they draw us further in from that first level, second level, third level. And there will be those incredible times when we get to level five and we're just with God. We're just with God. We are just lost in worship. We may not always achieve it here in church. And there'll be times at home or times when we're walking down the beach where it's just us and God. So this young woman was taking us through these levels. And I realized she actually took us there. She took us either to four or five. And then she said, I want to pray for some of you. And she comes directly to Lynette and lays hands on her and prays for her. And I'm saying, Lord, I'd like her to pray for me. And I felt this hand on my shoulder, thinking that she was praying for me. But when I opened my eyes, she was on the opposite side of the room. She'd moved away from Lynette. And I thought, the Lord put his hand on me. Do you know that's how close Jesus is to us? There have been times when you've been praying and you haven't sensed God at all. Your heart's been crying. Maybe the pain's been extreme. And I want you to know that Jesus is as close as that. When we produced a book called The Beginnings of Prayer, I had one of our friends who was an artist draw a picture of Jesus that close. And she drew a picture of a person kneeling beside their bed at night, praying. And there behind him, with his hand on them, was Jesus. We should not fail in prayer because Jesus said he will never forsake us or leave us. Now, when we arrived this morning, there was a pamphlet under the door wanting to remind us that the law of love is not enough and wanting to tell us that we needed to preach on judgment, fire and brimstone, and repentance. Now, I don't think we should be running around telling people, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. Now, that doesn't actually work very well. But there is a call to repentance, and there is a call to accountability. And it's that call that James gives us this morning, when he calls us to move out of discrimination, to move from discriminating between the rich and the poor, as if there's some difference between people because they've got money in the bank or they don't. Do you know there's some really nice rich people in the world? And there's some others who aren't so nice. But there's some really nice poor people in the world. And we make judgments about poverty. Oh, they must have got something wrong. Or they must have squandered their money. If we carefully look at our hearts, the temptation for discrimination is extremely strong. And we become judges. And Jesus warned us that you will be judged to the level you judge. So just be aware that the judgments that we make about others, they will be the level of assessment we're going to receive from God. So you know what? It's good news not to judge. And James would say it's really good news not to discriminate. He bases that one on the royal law, that you should love your neighbor as yourself. But he really applies it much stronger than Moses did and those who followed Moses. And even much stronger than what the Pharisees did with their traditions. But then he talks about the law of liberty or the law of freedom. So what is that? Is it freedom from coercion? Is it the sort of liberty that has been challenged in our current response to COVID? Or is it something else? And the law of liberty is actually something quite different to what the world knows as freedom. It's the freedom to be the person God always intended you to be. It's the freedom from the things that would divert, distract, or tear us away from being that incredible person God intended us to be, the unique person God intended us to be. It is the freedom to follow Christ no matter what the circumstances or what the results might be. It's the freedom to give everything that we have to the God who created us. It's the freedom to take up our cross and follow Jesus. It's the freedom to be Jesus' servant in the sense that wherever I am, he said, that is where my servant shall be also. It is the freedom to move away from worldly values to heavenly values. It's the freedom to give the unexpected when God asks. It's the freedom to go beyond the normal, to being on the cutting edge spiritually for the kingdom of God. And this is the hard one, the freedom to be martyred. Yeah, you read some of the old stories of the Roman persecutions, and I don't know the name of the father back then, but he was a renowned man of God, and they were roasting him. They'd put him on a spit and were cooking him alive. And he says, "You better turn me over. I'm not done on the other side yet." Nero cried as he persecuted the Christians. They're singing. Why are they singing? How could they be singing? It's because they knew the law of liberty. The law that freedom from the restrictions of the culture and ways of the world that we live in, to bring a deep spiritual impact on this world because of Jesus Christ. The world seems to think that Jesus is irrelevant. And yet he is the core answer to every problem the world has. We seem to think that God is out of touch. He's old-fashioned. He doesn't know reality properly. He doesn't know human relations right. And yet we continue to stuff up our relationships time and time again because we don't know what human relations are about. So I've been reflecting about our prayers for the people of expectation. And I don't believe that God sent COVID. And I don't. Does not mean that God is not doing something through COVID. And one of the things that is relevant to us as we pray is our people of expectation, the people that we aim to find and bring into the kingdom, are a people who are sitting and waiting to know what God wants them to do. And the Lord said, I have been speaking to them because they keep asking, what can we do to help? And God is directing them to us. He wants us to nurture them and grow them and teach them and instruct them so they can be strong in the Lord and strong for his kingdom. So we should not give up hope or expectation. And we should not give up prayer. We're going to pray again twice. First, I want you to thank God for something you haven't thanked him for in the last couple of weeks. Making it hard now, but let's try and do that. And once again, if you don't find that possible, there's always the birds and the trees and the flowers. So we just bow our heads and just thank God for something new today. Let's come back into the presence of God. As we've noted from Hebrews 10, that the only means that we have, whether we're a new Christian or old in the tooth, the only means that we have of coming to the presence of the Father is through the blood of Jesus. So let's do that. And as we do that, we're going to pray for our people of expectation. Father, we come to you again this morning through the only means that we have, and that is the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. We come to you through his blood, knowing that it has cleansed us and enabled us to stand before you and to be heard in your courts. And Lord, we pray again for the people of expectation. Lord, that you would help us to engage them, find them, and challenge them to come into your kingdom and into our church. Help us to nurture them and to grow them, that they may be strong in the Lord. And we pray that you would provide the resources we need to continue this mission, to reach out to a lost people who desperately need to find you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you'd like to hear more great messages from Pastor Andrew, check out our Facebook page or look us up on the net at cornerstone-church.com.au.